Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. So I'll just give just a little bit of background before we start. Paul writes this letter. He was in Roman custody because he brought a Gentile into the temple, and there was a rumor that he brought the Gentile beyond the specified wall, because Gentiles were not allowed to cross this wall. And it's a crime punishable by death to bring a Gentile across the dividing wall. And many of the people in Ephesus were Jews, so they would have known about this, why Paul was in prison. And they probably would have agreed with it. So even though Paul was in prison, he was arrested, he didn't see himself as being a prisoner of the Roman Empire. He didn't see himself as a victim of circumstance. He saw himself under Christ's leadership, so he wasn't in despair. And that's why he says, I'm a prisoner of Christ, in Ephesians 3:1. And this letter was written to the Ephesians so the church would know of God's eternal purpose. So many times in Ephesians, Paul uses this word mystery. And the Old Testament Israelites, they understood the word mystery to mean God's plan for history. So in Ephesians 3:3, Paul's preaching about he got this revelation now that the mystery is that Gentiles can also receive salvation. Okay, so just a little more background. In the early days of Christianity, right after Jesus ascended into heaven, there was only Jewish Christians. But the Holy Spirit led Peter to share the gospel with Cornelius, who was not a Jew. And eventually, there became more and more Gentile Christians, and they outnumbered the Jews. So by this time, by Ephesians, there was a lot more Gentile Christians than Jewish Christians. But most people in Paul's day, most of the Jews did not, they thought that they were part of the covenant of Abraham because they're born into it, but they did not extend this idea to the non-Jews. And they thought that they had the birthright and the Gentiles didn't. So this is a prayer. Most of the apostolic letters that Paul wrote, they always had a prayer in them. So this is the part in the chapter that is a prayer. So I'm just going to read it. Ephesians 3:14 through 21. I think I'll pray first. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for your faithfulness over every one of our lives. I ask that you would help us to know your love as we read your word and as we practice your presence, that you would help us to know what your calling is, God, for the church and for each one of us through the grace that you give us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Ephesians 3:14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So he says, for this reason. So he basically, in the first part of the chapter, he tells them something. And now he's praying. So the reason is, the reason why he says, for what he just said, the mystery is that Christ tore down that dividing wall. And Paul's calling is to proclaim that in Jesus Christ, this wall was tore down. And this is, Paul's calling includes proclaiming the fact that all people, Jew and Gentile, can all be part of the same spiritual family. And in Ephesians 2, 14 through 15, for he himself is our peace who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create himself one new man from thus making peace. And Paul, when Paul says, when he says, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, what he is saying is that all peoples and families all descended from a common source, and that was God. And this represents God's fatherhood over the whole world, over the Jews and the Gentiles. And Paul says that the dividing wall is shattered in Christ. And that's Paul's calling. By faith, everyone can now approach God on the same terms. So the next part of this passage, it talks about strength. It's in Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. So not only is he's telling the church now that we're going to be one, because there was a lot of division between the Gentile and the Jewish Christians. There was a lot of confusion over what they were supposed to do and not do, circumcision. And Paul was very unique in that he understood both of these people. He understood what it was like to be a Jew, and he understood what it was like to be a Greek. And so he had this special calling of telling them that God was going to strengthen this new one church. So he prays for spiritual strength for the Ephesians church. And to be strengthened, I just looked up a few words. To be strengthened, in biblical terms, they use this term to wax strong, which means, wax means to grow. So to grow in strength, to be strengthened when something is possible. And over, this word is used in the Bible, I think 12 times, when something is possible or something is able. So when God tells us that he strengthens us, he's telling us that it's possible for this to happen. And the Old Testament Israelites recognized God as their source of strength. And I put here a picture of just a person who... it's just kind of a silly picture to represent strength. But it kind of shows that when we have strength and we're empowered by God with his spirit, we kind of walk different. We kind of look at the world different. We are not so negative, and we're not so defeated and downtrodden. When we're empowered by his spirit, we're strong. And I'm going to talk about how we can become strong, because I think God wants us to walk around as his child, not as someone who's defeated. So the children of Israel often thought of God as their source of strength. In Psalms 18:1, David said, I will love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And most of the time in Old Testament literature, they related the word spirit with strength and the ability to do whatever God calls you to do. So in Paul says in Ephesians 3:16 that Christ lives in the believer through the Spirit, empowering him to live in a way that honors God. And I'd just like to share a quick story about one of the ways that God empowers us to be strong, and that's having his word inside of us. So I had an opportunity the other day to talk with someone, and I was asking her how she studies the Bible, because I recognize that this is an area in my life that I want to grow in. And when I talked to her, you know, she said, she mentioned a commentary to study this Bible background commentary, and it will help you understand the whole historical background of the Bible, which I think would be useful. But as we were talking, she said this other word, which we didn't talk too long, but she said inductive Bible study, which sounds like a big word. And I just went back and read about it. I read about inductive Bible study. What is it? And it was quite clear on the guide that I saw on the internet. And it just kind of mentioned that when you take a passage and you kind of look at it, and before you go to the commentary, you try to read it yourself, and you try to look at each sentence and try to write it out in your own words, and try to, whatever questions about when you write it out in your own words, whatever questions come into your mind, you know, write it down and try to go and answer them. And it also said, you know, try to write down the words that you have to look up that you don't understand. And also to make a note of other passages that come to mind while you're reading it. And sometimes we don't do this. The systematic way that it gave, it can be a little intimidating. You know, even for me, I was like, oh, can I really do this? And it said, you know, you can look at a Bible dictionary second to last, and then the last thing you do is look at a commentary. And I was like, okay, I think I'm a kind of person, sometimes I don't follow directions. I don't read direction manuals. I just do things, and which I'm trying to change. And so I decided to try to do it in the steps that it said. And it was pretty amazing. I found that as I really just took a passage in the Bible and tried to just read it and tried to put it in my own words, it surprisingly just came alive, and certain words popped out, and I had to go and look them up. And then there was other passages that I was able to cross-reference. And I found myself, while I was doing this, and even after for a few days, a week, I found myself very encouraged by this doing this. And I felt God really come really close to me. I really experienced just so much encouragement. All I can say is it was very encouraging. And I felt strength and empowered to face the day. And I kind of was excited. And situations that might normally be overwhelming, I didn't feel that overwhelmed. I felt just grace to have the conversation or make the phone call or to do the task that in my own strength, I wouldn't always have the courage to do what God calls us to do. And, you know, sometimes we can live in a place where fear engulfs us, or doubt, or being overwhelmed at work, even when we first wake up in the morning. But there was a supernatural empowerment that I felt in this process that, if I could say, the highlight of the last couple weeks was I experienced it in this thing that happened. And I was just, I just felt very excited about it, and I felt closer to God. And I think sometimes we can be intimidated to study the Bible. And we sometimes we tell ourselves, like, you cannot understand it, how to do it. But I really believe that if we keep trying, there's supernatural empowerment as we try to ingest God's word into our inner man, which is one of the things that this passage is talking about. The psalmist consistently described the law of God as a great blessing to them, for it was God's revelation to his people for their own good. And I really felt that was happening. I just felt like so much of being uplifted and encouraged. And this passage of strength, being strengthened, it talks about making God's word our stronghold, something that really strengthens our core. Just now I showed the core muscles. And they call these muscles, if you don't strengthen them, you can't stand up straight. But if it's not there, it's... So the psalmist presents internalizing the Bible also as a way to overcome sin. Because sometimes we try to overcome sin in our own strength, but we just don't have the grace to do it. So Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And we definitely need grace to overcome sin. And one of the ways that we strengthen ourselves, our core, is by reading the word and spending time in God's presence. There's one... There's one author, his name is Craig Keener, who he wrote this commentary, which I just mentioned. I don't have the quote up there. And he made this quote. He said, there's no other ancient historical books other than the Bible that suggest that a person's moral life could be empowered by the presence and activity of God. He said, you know, if you look back at all the history books, none of them talk about this, except the Bible talks about the Spirit of God strengthening the inner man. And the more we go through this process, sometimes we feel like we never change. We feel like, oh, I just don't change. I don't see changes in myself. But the more and more we go through ongoing sanctification, like Jacqueline was sharing the other week about cleaning, the Word of God prunes you, it cleans you. Through this ongoing reading the word, sanctification does happen. And the more and more a believer resembles our Heavenly Father. And each time the children of Israel received faith from God to obey it, he was glorified. And that's one of our goals, to see God glorified. But we can't do it in our own strength. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And David often spoke in his Psalms about the reality of God in his life. God was a real help for him. It wasn't just something that he wanted to write because he needed a worship lead. God was actually helping him. And this psalm, according to the commentary I read, it said that it presents a strong desire to live in the presence of God. And David often wrote about that he had a strong desire to be in God's presence. And whether we do that through reading his word or, you know, worshiping or practicing. Pastor Adam spoke about practicing the presence of God. And, you know, we've been talking about being attached to the vine. And sometimes you really have to stop and think, you know, what does it mean, practicing the presence of God? We used to talk about it when I was in a discipleship school. And stopping and being aware of his presence, strengthening us, that he's strengthening our spirit just by us just being aware of his presence. Sometimes we have so much fear in our lives and so much things that are just taking us away. And a few weeks ago, I had an opportunity to go to a Christian bookstore. And if I said the name, you'd probably all know what it is. And, you know, when I first walked in, it was just business as usual for me, just like buying the thing that I ordered, picking it up, taking out my wallet. And I saw someone I know, and I was just talking to him about reading or something. And I wasn't really thinking about God's presence. I was just in my day and doing my thing. And, you know, and then I went upstairs, came back down, was looking at the books and thinking, like, gifts to buy. And there was a moment where I just thought, like, oh, let me just sit down and just read a book for just, like, 5 minutes. And just when I stopped and did that, I was just suddenly aware there was worship music playing. I mean, I think I wasn't even aware of that before that moment. And it was just a beautiful moment. And there was just an awareness. I just felt like, wow, I just could sense like God's presence in the bookstore. And it was just so drawing and so beautiful. I can't explain any other word. And I just thought, wow, you know, sometimes we forget how beautiful his presence is. It was there, but sometimes we just don't think of it. We just ignore it. And sometimes we lose track. We're not aware of God's presence or about even practicing it when I'm driving because we're so captivated just by other things. And we don't take the time to even stop and recognize that it's there. And when you suddenly stop, you know, I was driving the other day and I just realized if I just practice God's presence, well, one thing, I probably won't get lost as much as I do, which is true. But besides that, God's presence, it's just so stabilizing, just my mind, you know, even when I'm just driving and that I'm present and I'm there and he's with me. And it's desirable to have his presence. And, you know, sometimes when we have his presence just operating in us every moment, it can really change our moment or our day. And that was a moment that stood out to me for the rest of the, I think it lasted for a few days, hopefully till now. But it just stood out so much. Like God is just crying out, I think, to say, like, I'm here, I'm beautiful, and you're just doing other things. And I think, you know, if we would learn to just keep pursuing his presence, it would be easier for us to overcome sin and fear and doubt and all the things that we struggle with, depression and, I mean, there's so many people that are hurting and struggling. The next part of this passage, Ephesians 3:17, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And when you read these words, we don't really know what it means, maybe back then, rooted. But when you look it up, you realize that it means to make something firm or to fix it. And when you fix something, it's there. It's not going anywhere. And grounded means to found something. When somebody found something, it means they, you know, they almost like discovered it, or it's a foundation. And I thought, you know, our foundation is really laid on love. That's who Christ is. When we say that his spirit is in our inner being, we are founded on love. And Romans chapter 15, 30 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, I urge you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to join in my struggle by praying to God. Do this because of your love for me, given to you by the Holy Spirit." So we are, our foundation is actually love, that Christ built us on that. And the Holy Spirit can stir up love in us. And I think after spending time in God's presence and in his word, I know definitely me, I'm definitely more loving. And I look at situations differently and I look at people differently. And having that connection with God puts a love in our heart that we can't conjure it up. Well, in my own strength, I can't conjure up this love. So we have one woman that is in RR, and her and I, we just don't seem to connect very well. Maybe it's because of language or whatever. And, you know, sometimes I try to text her, call her, but it just never seems to work out and the way I would like it to. And there's just a wall there. It's just closed. She doesn't reply my text messages. And I just realized that lately, you know, the more that I, you know, when I went to visit her one day, which I haven't done that often, but I went to visit her, and as I was talking to her, I just felt a love in my heart for her that wasn't there before. And it was just something that I know it can only be put there from, you know, from God and from being in his presence and, you know, maybe going to visit her. And I just felt a love that wasn't there before. And then the conversation just happened. It went on really well. And she was asking me questions, and it was a really good conversation. And I remember having a conversation a few weeks ago. I overheard someone else's conversation. We're talking about, you know, what do you do when there's someone in your life that you don't know how to help them, but you know there's a problem and you know you want to. And, you know, I think it was Pastor Adam that was saying, you know, even if you don't know what to do to help the person, you just go. And you just be there and you just pray. But sometimes the people that we're involved in, even our own families, we don't know how to help them. The problem is, even as a trained counselor, you think, wow, I don't know how to help this person because there's so many multiple issues. And that was something that kind of stuck out in my mind. You know, if you just go and be there and talk and try to be a safe person. Try to be a safe person for that person. And not only does God's word give us love in our hearts, but from what I shared tonight, it gives us a lot of other things. It gives us courage to speak in intimidating situations that would normally intimidate us. When we practice God's presence, we're not trying to impress anyone. We're just being there with God. And it doesn't matter who the person is. We can overcome that fear. And to close, Paul wrote to the Ephesians to help the church understand its call. And part of its call, just a review of what I shared, to be strengthened by God's presence in our lives, to overcome fear and our personal struggles, to live out our calling, to be renewed by his word and his spirit that dwells within us, to be sanctified, to overcome sin, and receive grace to love others. And Paul wanted his readers to understand that we've not only been saved for our own personal benefit, but also to bring praise and glory to God. And when we are allowing Christ, it's not I that live, but Christ that lives within me. When we allow Christ to live inside of us, maybe sometimes we don't feel like we do that very well, but his word changing can glorify himself. And Paul wrote to expand the horizon of his readers so the readers might understand God's eternal purpose for this church and that he would give them grace to fulfill it. So not only is God calling them to go and love, to go and be the church, but he's also telling them that he's going to give them grace to help. I'd just like us to close our eyes and reflect for a minute. God, sometimes we have seasons and times in our lives where we feel overwhelmed, God, with what's happening. And I'd just like to read from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God. God dwells in that city and it cannot be destroyed. And I just want to pray tonight if there's anyone who feels overwhelmed by the circumstances of life, that sometimes struggle to connect with God, sometimes struggle to find that place of even the time to spend in his word, that it seems like an obstacle, it seems almost impossible to study, to spend time with God. God, I pray that we would recognize your presence tonight, God, that you are with us and you are here.